I'm Kristen McFarland, and this is Market Like a Badass. I'm the founder and CEO of the Source Marketing Group, a marketing technology company in Denver, Colorado, focused on highly regulated markets like cannabis and craft beer. The theme this season is Taboo to Tap, how hemp beverage pioneers are racing to craft billion-dollar beverage brands by mastering the art of compliant and grassroots marketing. This season is brought to you by the Source Marketing Group. We provide websites, email, and integration services to help you monetize your customer data and win more business. The Source Marketing Group believes every business deserves to have the resources to market like a badass, and that's why we've invested in creating over 50 episodes full of actionable marketing strategies absolutely free. From privacy and security, managing entrepreneurial burnout, to running global events, we've covered it all. Tune in on Apple or Spotify to hear more. Today, I'm going to chat with a very special guest from his self-titled brand, SpencerPlussell.com. Spencer works on brands far and wide, inside the cannabis space, craft beer, beverage, and beyond. Currently, he's sitting as an advisor and the creative director to the Canna Connect team in Minnesota. They recently launched a hemp beverage collab with Back Channel Brewing Co. called Coco Flow that I just cracked open at the beginning of this episode, and I'm excited to geek out about this beverage. We're going to chat about this collab, some marketing tips and tricks. We'll talk about branding, partnerships, and other collaborations in the hemp beverage space, and so much more. Welcome, Spencer.
Wow, thank you. Look at what an intro. So impressed. Really appreciate you, Kristen, for having me on here. I'm excited to dive in and just chat about all things from Cannabev and beyond and marketing in general. So let's get into the badassery, so to speak.
Hell yes. Well, and before we dive into that, I want to ask the most important question of the day, which is, what are you grateful for?
Oh, I'm grateful to be alive. Today, I'm grateful to be alive, because what a miracle of life it is to be standing here doing what I do, having a conversation with yourself and living in the very present moment that we're in. And yes, this podcast will be something that will be coming out at a later date, and the humans that are going to be enjoying it and absorbing the energy that we gift to them through the universal transmission is going to be so, so special. So again, I thank you, and I thank everyone that will be listening to this and is currently now listening to this in their earbuds. But at the same time, yes, I am grateful to be alive.
I love it. And thank you so much. I'm grateful that you came on to share this journey and experience. And thank you for, you know, sending me some to try. This is fabulous. I mean, tell our audience a little bit more about the goals of Canna Connect and how this collaboration even came about.
Yeah, most certainly. And the sentiments about sending you some Coco Flow, of course, like, if you're going to have me on your podcast and we're going to talk about Coco Flow eventually, why would I not send you some?
I got to get in the flow.
100%. Yeah. So Canna Connect is a media, marketing, events, brand company in Minnesota. It started in the Twin Cities metropolitan of Minneapolis, St. Paul, and a few years back now from our visionary and leader, Steven Eigenman. And now the team has grown over the last few years to include 5 humans in different parts and areas of Minnesota. We have a few people up in the Brainerd Lakes area, which is about a couple hours just northwest of the Twin Cities. Myself, I live along the banks of Lake Superior up in northern Minnesota on the North Shore, which is about 3 hours from the Twin Cities metro. And at the end of the day, Canna Connect really is exactly what it is. It's a network of like-minded individuals, both inside and outside of the cannabis industry. And what we're doing is we're harvesting those like-minded individuals inside of a community around cannabis, right? So we're Canna Connect, say it in reverse, flip it and reverse it. We are connecting humans over cannabis. Yes, inside of the four walls of Minnesota, but also now we have reaching tentacles outside into many other states, as well as even up into Canada now, from partners and sponsors. So at the end of the day, what are we? We are a network of humans from An email marketing list, yes, that we put out every Wednesday, and now reaching into further and other dates called the Caniverse.
Yes.
And the Caniverse has over 10,000 subscribers in it now, probably by the time that we actually even are talking and launching this podcast into the Ethernet. So it's really cool. We're able to connect with people, and it's not just about Canna Connect. Canna Connect is about the humans, right? Because without mm-hmm. the humans, we, Canna Connect, are nothing, right? The spotlights that we put on, the events that we host, events other people host, jobs in the industry and outside of the industry or ancillary to the industry. You know, we give that kind of information to the humans that follow along with Canna Connect. Minnesota's spot to come for all of your truth inside of the cannabis space and what you should be paying attention to is the Canna Connect team.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so cool to know you all are there. And what an important market to be doing it at. I mean, I was at World Beer Cup Minneapolis just a few years ago. And got to go to Uta Pills and all the, and got to get, you know, all the good stuff there. And now it's like, it seems like maybe all the breweries that are there are maybe more focused on hemp beverage because there was over, 80 different types of beverages coming out of the state, maybe even more since I last checked. It's probably exploded. But why is it such a hub? Is it the regulations?
Regulations. I mean, if you look back and deep into it, when this started, the hemp beverage, you know, mm-hmm. kind of foray into those that liquid specifically in Minnesota, we kind of have become a poster child state, or are the poster child state, honestly, mm-hmm. for hemp derived cannabis beverages. And with the infrastructure of the craft breweries here, not that other states don't have as many or even more than the state of Minnesota, and specifically looking at the metropolitan, you know, hemp derived beverages were created in the brewery space. They have the equipment, they have the humans, they have the capacity to do that. Now, there's always going to be a spectrum, right, mm-hmm. of who believes who started it or who shouldn't be in it or why and what, you know, right? Exactly. Yeah. There's always going to be two sides to the coin. Well, I like to look at the coin like a sphere, and there's a lot of different perspectives, and you kind of got to spin it around to shift the mindset to see where people come from and see what other people's truths are. So, you know, at the end of the day, there's still a lot of 5-10 meg game, right? That's kind of where we're at. So I think a lot of the people that I know in the state of Minnesota who are producing cannabis beverages with all different types of cannabinoids, yes, but also psychoactive THC ingredient, you know, there's a mix. There's a mix of humans and what they're doing, from ones that are, you know, co-packing to ones that are the actual manufacturers, to people that are just getting in and have a brand and have the capital to invest in, and bring their brand to life. So
it's pretty cool. I mean, even liquor store owners like John Halper being such a voice in that market and giving unique perspectives. It's the sphere that you're talking about. And I want to talk more about dosing, but first I wanted to dive in. You know, we're talking about the collaboration that you all are doing, but what metrics matter for collaborations like this? You know, how do you gauge customer feedback? Is it number of new signups on your email list, or what are you all looking at for success metrics?
Yeah, that's a great question, by the way. And I'm going to have hopefully what is an answer that might not be the tried and true when it comes to success metrics and mm-hmm. data points and things of that nature. I want to go back and hearken to the I mean, you talk about craft beer, right? You've been in that state. Me as well. Like, I've been in the craft beer and beverage industry for almost 2 decades, 20 years of my life. Starting as a graphic designer for Miller Lite and Kugel's distribution network in Wisconsin. But without boring you with that whole long story about where I've been and what I do, to your point about the metrics, like, and the success metrics, for me, if we go and hearken to my craft beer days, you know, your craft beer days, and knowing that industry, let's just think about you and I as two breweries, okay? So we have Kristen Brewery and Spencer Brewery, and we're friends, and we like to make beer, and we're close to each other, and we want to collaborate. And when we collaborate, I have the ability to produce that liquid at my facility, and I produce that, and you come over, and we hang out, and we grab pizza, and we brew a beer for the day, right? And then it comes out on my tap list in a few weeks when it's done, and it's ready to go. And then maybe a month or so later, or whatever the timeline might be, I come over to your brewery, and we brew with the teams, and we have lunch, and we make beer, and we and your team, let's say your brew is a little bit bigger than mine, right? And you create a label, and you package it, and you put it in cans, and you put it on draft in your tap room, and you get it out to market because you have a larger capacity to brew more barrels. At the end of the day, that collaboration is just an effort to have like-minded individuals, friends, people that love what they do, artists, right? We're mm-hmm. artists at the end of the day, painting with a paintbrush, creating liquid as our final output on the canvas. And in that collaborative state, you and I sometimes have goals like, let's do a thing that is philanthropic with another organization, and we do like a triangle collab. It's like,
yeah,
my brewery, your brewery, and something we both believe and love in, right? And sometimes it's just, it's my brewery, your brewery, and we just want to make a badass beer together, and it sounds yep. like fun. And yep. there's nothing more than that, and we do our thing, and we take it away, and we had a good time, and it was fun. It was a collaboration. So in this collaboration state, which is the one that we did, Canna Connect did with Back Channel Brewing Company called Coco Flow, this is a different collaboration, right? It's still a collaboration of like-minded individuals coming together, but at the end of the day, Back Channel Brewing Company, which is a brewery in the Western Metro, small self-distribution footprint, they have a beautiful tap room right out by Lake Minnetonka, the Lake Minnetonka area,
and oh, wow.
a captivated audience out there. So Back Channel, the channels that oh, run yeah. between the lakes, they're literally on one of the channels. At the end of the day, they have the manufacturing facility, right? They have the brewer, they have the innovation, they have the people inside to help make that come to life. Whereas Canna Connect, as I've told you, right, we are media, events, marketing, mm-hmm. and a network to get that sort of information out there. So we brought that to the table as Canna Connect. I come in as Canna Connect's advisor and creative director, which I also have experience in bringing beverages to life for brewery brands, as the example. Mm-hmm. And then we partner with that brewery so that brewery can get its name out further, and we at Canna Connect can do something that is innovative and different than just like, oh, we're putting on another event. And not that that's a negative. It's not about, oh, Canna Connect, another event again, right? That's not what it is. It's just like, oh, now it's really a, oh, Canna Connect's putting out a beverage collab. That's cool. What's that all about? Mm-hmm. Oh, and it's different. It's not a 1-to-1, 1-to-2 THC CBD blend, 5-10 meg, pretty classic, straight up the gut. And also not necessarily trying to become a beverage company.
Yeah.
Right? That's not the goal. This was a collaboration
mm-hmm.
between two sets of humans that wanted to do something that was different, that had a wellness focus to it. Now, saying all that to come full circle to the success metrics, at the end of the day, it's a collaboration, right? So both parties have ideas about what they want. Did we want more email signups? Yes, of course. That's always nice. But at the end of the day, we wanted to create a relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Canna Connect. I talked about that in the very beginning about we're people that want to harvest a community of humans in and around the cannabis space, cannabis beverage, all different formats.
Yep.
And this helps us bring something that we brought to the table from an innovative standpoint to say, we also can do something like this. Not even like we can do something like this and bring that playbook to other breweries or other co-packs or other beverage or liquid manufacturers. Yeah, we're thinking about how we can do stuff like that. Like, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say that, like, there's a future in that. There's a trajectory towards other beverages and other collaborations. But as simple as saying, like, Canna Connect is just going to, like, come up with innovative ideas and then go find a co-packer and, like, make a beverage and have a couple pallets of it and then figure out how to sell it ourselves, I don't know if that's necessarily the
right.
goal.
Yeah.
The goal in this case was, like, let's do something that's innovative. And now, mind you, Back Channel, as I said, smaller brewery, right? We had a small batch run of this. It was only a pallet and a half. The reason why you were able only to really get it through me is because Back Channel doesn't have direct-to-consumer e-commerce platform, right?
Yep.
They're a brewery. They're 90%+ craft beer.
Yep.
They have a portfolio of CBD seltzers and THC and cannabis-infused beverages. And they have one sales rep that works their market and is self-distribution. And they have their own, you know, delivery. So it's not like they're in a distributor. It's not like the goal was brew or create or fashion this liquid into like 5, 10, 20 pallets and talk about velocity and sell-through rates and
yeah.
all of this was like, no, Back Channel, we collaborated, we made just less than 2 pallets. Like, eventually it's all going to sell, right? We're going to help get Back Channel some new placements. Back Channel is going to place it into places that they already have in retail and distro. Well, self-distro in this case. Now, we're timestamped today. We are on September 18th, which the launch of Coco Flow was July 10th at the tap room at Back Channel Brewing Company.
Oh, nice.
And fast forward, now we're just over 2 months from the release and launch date of Coco Flow. I don't have the official numbers today, but I would say we're definitely down to or less than 5, 10 for sure, 5 cases. Might even be completely out in their warehouse, for as far as I know. Now, if I, and I'm not saying direct-to-consumer e-com is like the holy grail. It's not the pathway to all success. All right. It is it's another sales channel. It's another metric, right? It's another door that you can open up beyond like your tap room, mm-hmm. beyond your distribution footprint, whether that's with distributors or whether that's with self-distribution. We didn't have a D2C lane in this case. I personally believe, based upon the network that Canna Connect has and the reason that we came to the table, if Backchannel, in this case as the current example in this collaboration, had a D2C arm, people like yourself
would
have been able to easily get and grab Coco Flow. And that's where, through my channel of importance, best word I could think of at the time, would be LinkedIn as a channel to distribute information. I don't have any other social media channels for myself, my personal brand, Spencer Plussell. I literally just focused all my efforts on LinkedIn 5 years ago when I deleted all social media channels besides LinkedIn and maximized the potential on that channel. I've had people like yourself that are like knocking on the door, sliding into the DMs like, hey, where can I buy that Coco Flow? And I'm like, well, there were a few retailers in Minnesota that bought cases and put it in their retail shops. And then also they have a D2C arm, right? They have a website. You can go online and buy a few of those, put it up on theirs, but those, boom, those are out. Those are gone right away.
Wow. That's amazing. So
that all goes to say, if we had a D2C arm, I'm led myself to believe with the prowess that Canna Connect is able to reach humans, we would have been gone before Labor Day. Like July 10th, launch in the tap room, less than a couple pallets would have been gone in less than 30 days, easily. Wow. Only because of the fact that it's coconut water, right? That's the base.
It's like, so unique.
Me and you, we're consumers of these beverages, seltzers. Yep. Got it, done it, did it, they're there, right? Sodas, things like that, sugar, more sugary drinks that lean into, not that's a negative, that's just that lean into what the general populace in the United States is already consuming, right? We've lent into the soda game. Some people have dipped a little, people are dipping their toes into like more still beverages, like teas and things like that, non-carbonated. Coconut water, same thing. There's a couple other brands out there, to my knowledge, that have done like THC or cannabis-infused coconut waters. In the state of Minnesota, as far as we found, like we unless somebody's going to raise their hand and tell me you're different, then that's fine. I would love to learn more about them. But like at the end of the day, this was one of those first ones. And that's where people are like, wait, what is this? This is a coconut water? And wait, this has got a 1-to-1-to-1-to-1-to-1 blend of five different
The minors in this. I mean, CBD, CBG, CBC, CBN on top of THC is just phenomenal. Yeah. So and to your point, I think the branding, you know, I loved everything about it. It was so inviting. And you see, it's just pretty interesting. You see the importance of a brand, right? Yeah. Because literally people are knocking on your door like, hey, because everything does seem to be carbonated. It's all very seltzer focused, I would say, right now in the beverage world. And so this really just stands out. It's different. And definitely, you know, for craft brewers who are facing the challenge of, you know, maybe the sober curious drinkers, to me this is a perfect substitute, because it does kind of feel like you're drinking a beer, but not at the same time, you know, more so compared to like a seltzer. You still feel like, okay, I'm getting my little treat.
Yeah, 100%. And I can resonate with the sentiments around the craft brewers and kind of what's happened in that marketplace. I mean, you and I both are well and privy to like what's happening from like where we were a few years back to where we are now, and seeing some decline in consumption and behavior changing. Now we both know that like beer's not going anywhere.
Oh yeah.
Right. It's been here long before anyone was doing podcasts and talking about what their opinions are about, craft beer and beer in general is going down. Like, it's going the way of the cigarette. I'm like, well, yes, the cigarette hasn't been around as long as a fermented beverage has. Now granted, tobacco, sure, like that's a different story as an ingredient, but like let's talk about cigarettes, and well, we won't talk about what's in cigarettes besides tobacco. But, you know, a fermented beverage, different story. So, yeah, I think beverages like this, you know, in the seltzer game and whatever you're infusing, whatever beverages, I mean, there's craft beers now. I mean, you know, I love the brands that are coming out. Not a whole lot of them at this point in time. But let's think of a couple. Float House, right, Gordon? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Non-alcoholic craft beers with THC infused. The folks from Go Brewing Company have an offshoot line, Easy Man. And, like, those are near and dear to my heart because being in the craft space, like, I was able to take, you know, craft beer and kind of, like, take that 12-ounce can and literally take craft beer and go, and now I have craft beer in this hand.
Yes.
But it's craft beer that's NA and it has, you know, THC and other cannabinoids in it that give me the same feeling, but the feeling for not tomorrow, which everyone's individualized when it comes to their chemical makeup, right?
Mm-hmm.
My hangovers last 7+ days. That's a waste of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have friends that are like, I don't get hungover. I can drink all the beers I want. I'm like, wow, magic, right?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point because people are used to maybe how they feel off beer, but how do you handle the wide variation and individual tolerance and experience with these products? Is that why you lean maybe towards more of like the 8 milligram versus something higher?
Sure, yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, right now it's an experiment, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
And I can't claim anything, right? Like, I'm no scientist. I don't have all the facts and figures, and we're still learning all the things about, you know, from research perspective and things opening up and humans being able to actually research further and publish papers and do things that give actual scientific evidence for even the minor cannabinoids in this, right? You know, obviously we know what THC does, right? Like, it's a psychoactive ingredient, that gentle euphoria, mood elevation, you know, creativity beyond the means of life. And the other minors in here, the choice was the fact that, like, okay, if you're going to simply stay in the lane of THC, the tried and true 510 meg, right? That's easy, right? That's done, that's being done. Now there's room for all as many, I mean, you walk into a Total Wine, there's aisles of cannabis. You walk into a top 10 liquor, right, here in the state of Minnesota, Mr. John Helper as the current example, as you've alluded to, right? He's changing over. His stores are changing over and giving more shelf space and more door cooler space to cannabis-infused beverages. And we know right now, based upon the data, that, you know, a lot of those retail locations are seeing a lot of success in the 10 milligram range. And there's a lot yet to be seen. And what do I mean by that? A lot yet to be seen because of the spectrum, pun intended in this case, not only with the cannabinoids and the entourage effect, but the ability to figure out what the consumer is going to want. I personally, from my vantage point, see it like a pyramid, right? And the base of the pyramid is those entry-level humans, right? There's always going to be people coming into the funnel, or into the pyramid in this case, looking for trial and exploration into cannabis, but they want to start low and go slow, right? That's what we say, like, grab a 1.5, grab a 2, maybe grab a 3 meg and see how that goes for you. And then as the pyramid goes up, you're going to have those people that right now they're hitting that 10 meg cap, but like my friends over in the state of Wisconsin, where I actually hail from, you know, they have different rules and regulations. You can get 25 megs of THC. You can get 50 megs of THC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think futuristically, as we get through and we are further into this game, that there are going to be humans that actually want that experience because tolerance levels, yes, change, of course.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, our endocannabinoid system internally in this body is so different between each person. So to really answer your question, what was the why behind the 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, the 40 total milligrams of cannabinoids? Honestly, like, there was some hidden meanings in there, from 8 being an infinity symbol to, you know, Melissa Letty, one of the co-founders of Back Channel Brewing Company, had just turned 40, so that was a cool number, you know, 5/8 is 40. And then at the same time, it's also an experiment. It's an experiment for us to understand what that blend, that true entourage effect does for me.
For
you, for the team, for the humans that are here.
So
we
true.
Need the feedback to understand where we go next. And honestly, where we're going to potentially go next, not necessarily, yes, maybe with Back Channel, yes, maybe with other collaborative beverage partners, is we're going to bring maybe the THC down, right? Bring the other minors up and create a different experience, right? Because instead of, you've heard me already say it, instead of necessarily going with the tried and true 1-to-1 ratio or 1-to-2 ratio of THC, CBD, 5 megs, 10 megs, or 10-10 or whatever, like there's room for innovation now. Let's talk about Truly. Let's talk about White Claw. Let's talk about those RTD seltzers in the alcohol space. Those came and had their moment and they shined for a few years, right? Mm-hmm. But now you're not seeing as much of that really taking up as much shelf space as it did 3 to 5 years ago. However, now you're seeing the same thing with the quick, fast onset of these cannabis beverages. You were seeing a lot of seltzers because that was easy, right?
Like yeah.
Water, dosing, emulsion, flavor, carbonation, quick in, quick out. And I know from personal experience that I have brewer friends that are like, I don't want to do that. It's not fun. It's not innovative. It's not brewing, which it'll never be. But to stay alive in this craft beer and beverage space, I believe that if you allow other sales channels to open, yes, brew your delicious craft beer. Yes, create and craft cannabis beverages. Yes, create and craft, you know, other adaptogenic beverages, things of that. You're a beverage producer. I go back to the artist. Right? We're the artist, we're the paintbrush. And the brush that we're painting is creating liquid, right? You're a beverage artist. And with that, are you able to shift your mindset and get away from like, I only make beer? Some people know, and that's okay. If you want to be a brewer and you want to stick to that identity, stick to that identity. I'm not telling you to change. I don't want you to change. I just want you to see the sphere a little different and go, wow, I could open up and maximize the potential of maybe my brewery or the brewery that I work for and think differently about how we bring innovation and flavor and function to our consumer base.
Yeah, and it's so cool to hear all the brewers talking about that at Craft Brewers Conference and beyond. It's all the buzz, right? Like of meeting those consumers where they're at. And I think that's where we are seeing now so many cool beverages that are coming out, you know, people adopting. And so I'm really, really excited to see where the hemp beverage category grows over the next few years. And I really want to make sure we spend some time on some badass marketing tips and tricks. So I'm going to pivot over to some marketing tips for this space, because again, at Canna Connect, you all are, you media, branding, all kinds of really great backgrounds there. And so I know you have a lot of really good tips to share. So my first question is, how do you differentiate hemp beverage brands in an increasingly crowded market? What makes a brand memorable versus forgettable?
Oh, well, I think your key point there was talking about beverage. Mm-hmm. And beverage, in case of brand, from my eyes and my perspective, being a quote unquote beverage brand guy for the last 2 decades of my life, you can make a label, right? You can design it and make it as badass as you want and make yourself believe that it will sell because of this. But really where I think it goes is what's inside the can, right? It's the liquid that speaks for itself. It's the flavor, right? That's what you're leaning into, or what you have to lean into. Because if the liquid's not good, if it's not quality and it's not creating an experience, a flavor experience for the consumer, guess what they have? Because you and I are both consumers. They have choice.
Yeah.
And if this wasn't good or I didn't enjoy the flavor, I don't have to. I don't even need the other 3 in the 4-pack. I'll give them to my friend Kristen.
Yeah. Right?
Hey. You know what I mean? Like, I tried one, it was good, but like, nah, it wasn't for me or whatever.
And, don't give them to me.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to create necessarily a beverage that's for everyone, because that's the wrong play in general.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, the way you create a brand is in the beverage space, is ensuring that you're creating a quality liquid, right?
Yeah.
And a flavor experience that people want again. Pun intended, you're creating the thirst, right? So if you have that, you're like, wow, I like that. I'll keep the other 3. I'll have one at another day. Or, I'm going to have another one right now, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So now, in today's world, which you can attest to, and I would love to hear your opinion on that, like, being brand, like super loyal to a brand, like, very, very difficult, right? To create brand loyalty, especially in beverage, when you have so much choice. You can literally go click, click, buy, get them sent to you. Ship to my house. Try this one. Try that one. Try that 4-pack. Try this 6-pack.
So what does that mean for some of the emulsions in the future? Like right now, some things aren't as shelf stable. Mm-hmm. And especially with beverages, right? You have to like move that inventory really quick. Yeah. And so if your emulsion process is wrong, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, where potentially maybe it's sitting on shelf before it's really like at that 8888, and it had to sit there for 4 weeks until it's really mm-hmm. there. What does that mean for the customer who maybe had it earlier and got a different experience or a different high? To your point, like, right, those are things people need to think about, from emulsion to who's going to be, you know, the one actually helping to create this product. I mean, every little piece along that supply chain can impact the product quality. Hell, I even had a hemp beverage company, they were saying like, we tried to go to market with 500 cans and we printed these labels and then they were all too big and none of them fit the cans. I mean, I've heard so many nightmare stories. And so it's wild. You know, the flavor definitely is so important. So like really making sure you're conscious of every piece of that supply chain to dial in the logistics, because, you know, you're going to spend time doing sips to lips. Yeah, the sips to lips thing. But again, to your point, you know, you're taking all that time to maybe demo at a Total Wine. And are the effects going to be consistent? You know, it's just kind of interesting to see how that's going to evolve.
I think it's definitely one of it's not necessarily a silent conversation. It's tending to be a bigger conversation in the circle that we both run in. Mm-hmm. Is like, I talked about the quality. I talked about flavor, right? But at the same time, with these beverages, because of the infusion of these cannabinoids, like, it comes down to consistency.
Yeah.
And that's all about lab and testing and understanding. And I'm no scientist. I'm not the brewer, right? Like, I was a home brewer for years, but, like, I still am not, like, I never went to formal brewer training. I don't know it like some other, you know, people in my world know it.
Yeah. But, like,
it's making sure that like there's an homogeneousness to the liquid, right? And also talking about shelf stability, talking about shelf life and longevity, something that, you know, is then past, like, what's in it? Are chemical preservatives or is it pasteurized? And how does that change the chemical and the molecular makeup? And then what about can liners? And like, what are these things absorbing or, you know, sticking to or clumping together? And then like so that's where it's two sides to the coin.
Again. Yeah, it's hard.
Smaller producers able to, you know, turn and burn stuff versus larger producers are having to really think about, oh, we made, I don't know, I'm just hypothetically saying, like, we made 20 pallets of our Cannabev. Like, well, just because it goes out of your facility and goes and hits your distribution and then distribution hits retail, like, as far as I'm concerned, being in this game for as long or short as I have been, like, when that product with your label on it leaves your facility where you manufactured it, no matter where it goes and sits, even if it states away, I personally believe that that's still your product. And I say this with all sincerity, that product is still your problem, right? You created the problem, a good problem. This is a good problem. But just because it's out of your hands and it's into your distro's hands and it's into your retailer's hands, oh, it's retail. It's theirs now. They have to figure out how to sell that and sell through it. It's like, I think that's a difficult conversation to have. It's an honest, truthful conversation. That's still your product. It's still yours. It's got your label on it. You made it.
Exactly. I appreciate Julie Rhodes with Not Your Hobby Marketing. She preaches that all the time of, you know, your job is still to sell. You know, you have to be successful in your business, you know, you have to be there to support it. And then one thing, you know, I know we talked about the actual flavor and that makes it important, but I'll push back a little bit because, you know, I get to, I'm the host. I will say the branding though is so important because that's how you get the knocks at the doors, right? That's how you, like, I will tell you, Coco Flow right now in my beer fridge compared to other hemp beverages stands out even on the shelf. Just because of how, you know, the marketing, the branding. So before I've even had a sip, I've already like transported to Costa Rica. I'm on the beach with my THC coconut water in my mind. So there is something very important. Like, you captured me before I even had a sip of this. That's why I was like, come on the podcast, you know?
I love that.
Branding, you know, it really, that's a big piece of it too. And so I want to dive a little bit more into that. What branding lessons from craft beer translate well to hemp beverages, and what approaches really have to be completely reimagined?
The million-dollar question, of course, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you and I both know, and listeners here, it's the same. It's the same concept. In craft beer, right, there's a huge spectrum. It's all about the vision. What do you want to be and who do you want to be, right? From the Sierra Nevadas of the world to the smallest little craft brewery on the corner in the world, who are you? What are you? What do you want to exemplify to your target consumer? Or your audience in general, or the person drinking your liquid. Yes, flavor matters, but also yes, your branding. In my tenure here in the craft beer space, and like being a brand guy and like developing and creating brands and making labels and designing bottle labels and stuff, like the 750 milliliter bottle labels that people stood outside of breweries lines around the block for decades ago, like. Yeah, I took part in the game, and you're right. That is an experience, right? Holding that bottle and being like, wow, I love the way this looks. Even if it's subconscious, as a designer and as a creative, like, I am supposed to tug on the subconscious brain of the human mind in order to make them feel a certain way. And in this case, Coco Flow made you feel a certain way without even having had the liquid yet from seeing a post that I probably put out on LinkedIn, and you're like, what is that? I want to be sitting on a beach and I'm in a can, right?
Yep.
So I'm giving you this example of like, it's who you want to attract, right? This could have been, I don't know, it could have been a black can with a big old splash of pineapple on it, and it would have evoked a whole different feeling, right?
Yeah.
It would have been a whole different beverage. True. Still the same liquid inside, still the same concepting, still the same cannabinoid count, still the same functional ingredients from coconut water, coconut milk, lemongrass, sea salt, right? All those have things that they do for the body beyond just like carbonated seltzer water. Not that that's wrong, because there's a lot of those humans that will listen to this that are making those beverages. But yeah, I guess how does that then translate over to the cannabis space? Once again, I think it's same. I think we're talking about the same thing. I don't think there's a difference. It's just what you want to produce. And getting outside of that, going from beer to cannabis to even, let's talk about wine for 2 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. Think about, I'm not a wine drinker, but like I've been to many liquor stores where there's 10,000 freaking bottles of wine, and like, I am the wine drinker or wine purchaser in my life, or have been, to the point where I'm just gonna like look at I want a red. Okay, cool label, $12, probably fine. But then there's the person that's like, they know, maybe they're a Somm, I don't know. Yeah. And like, they're buying a $150 bottle of wine because they look at that and know it. It's not because of what it looks like. It's not because of the brand and the branding. They know what they're looking for. They know what year, what kind of vintage, what kind of grapes, blah, 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 what location, what's the word I'm looking for? Terroir. Like, are you talking like Sauvignon from, you know, northern tip of the southern island, New Zealand? I don't know. You know, there's people that are very particular with what they want, and some there's not. So again, I keep using the idea of a spectrum. There's a spectrum of life, and that's what makes us unique as humans. But
yeah.
There's usually something for everyone to hit along it, hopefully. And I think that is the case starting, even though this onset of cannabis has been so fast and the seltzer game out of the gate was so like prolific, I think now there's this shift, not to shift to like plateau, but this shift around like, okay, what are the other things we can bring to the table besides just cannabis-infused seltzer sparkling waters?
Yeah, I think that's going to be really exciting because, you know, even if I go to the dispensary now, it just tends to be more sugary, heavy drinks that you know, we have access to. So I'm excited to see the innovation as it relates to, you know, everyday beverages. And I've noticed even myself in the craft beer space, my own craft beer drinking has declined over the years. My craft beer fridge that used to be all full of craft beer is now about half full of hemp beverages. So it's pretty, it's cool to see the diversification, and that'll continue to evolve. And I wanted to ask you, how do you even educate consumers about minor cannabinoids, especially when you're limited on health claims that you can make? And I know some people, you know, want to push the limits there, but, you know, do you have any safe, you know, best practices there that won't get people in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it all comes down to education. I talked mm-hmm. about experimentation. You're like, well, it's not just a 5 meg or 10 meg with 1-to-1, 1-to-2 blend, right? THC to CBD. That's easy. That's been done. And it's still being done. Even new beverages coming out on the market in that case. But this case, experimentation and what it does to individuals' endocannabinoid system and how it reacts and how it interacts, there's also the education behind it. I think that's mm-hmm. one of the more difficult things with this beverage, getting it to retail, was there were retailers and beverage buyers that were like, I can't sell this because my internal employee team is not educated around this enough to put this on the shelf. If someone were to come in that didn't know what this would do for their body, their mind, body, and spirit, I don't have the education to bring that to life. Now, there are people like John Helper and that team and other teams and Mini Grown and coming in and building educational systems around these beverages. I mean, I helped bring to life the cannabis beverage certification and training program with Aficionados. Aficionados certification and training programs is the umbrella brand.
Oh, wow.
AFNA, alcohol-free, non-alcoholic. And underneath that, there are four pillars. Pillar one is non-alcoholic craft beer. Pillar two is cannabis beverages. Obviously, NA, AF, clearly in that space. And then wine, non-alcoholic wine just came online. And that team is about to launch, I don't know, maybe early within next year, the NA spirit game. So it's the four pillars they stand on. So Aficionado certification and training programs. You can get trained in cannabis beverage certification and training. It's like, I don't even remember, like $150 or something. You can get your training materials, take your exam, and be certified, get your official lapel pin. And that is what, I mean, I was with that team for a few years bringing that to life, and now, you know, the sort of model is bringing it to different distributors and retailers that then can train their whole team so you can actually feel safe bringing in beverages like this because somebody could be educated coming in and asking as a consumer off the street, they're like, hey, what is that going to do? What is CBG? Mm-hmm. I've heard of CBD before. Like, I take CBD, right? Or like, I have CBD balm for my whatever. But like, I've never heard of these other ones. And it's early and it's new, and how I equate it, I'm gonna tug the strings back and forth between craft beer. Okay, 20, 30 years ago, the average craft beer and beer consumer didn't know what hops were. They knew what hops were, they'd heard of hops. They knew hops went where? Into beer. But they didn't know Citra, Simcoe, Mosaic, Sabro, blah, blah, like keep naming hops. Okay, now fast forward to today's world, there are people that walk into a brewery and you can visually and physically hear people in line going, oh man, I love that one's got like nectar on and that one's got like citra. Like I love that experience at this other brewery or these cans that I bought at this retail. What you remember hop names, right? Mm-hmm. And what was that? That was years, even decades of what? Education.
Yeah.
So this, like my world for the last 20 years of understanding the consumer and educating the consumer in the craft beer space, same thing. Without doing things like this, where there are these minor cannabinoids and actually making a point to talk about them and talk about them with people, we're just gonna have people being like, yeah, hops go in beer. Yeah, cannabinoids go in cannabis beverages. No, there's a difference. And you will then find, just like Citra and Simcoe, like I love an IPA with Citra and Simcoe. Okay, great. I love a cannabis beverage with a little THC, a lot of CBG, and a little CBN. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's the function you're looking for. But what does that take? It takes people to go out on a ledge with something like this to jump in so people ask the questions to get educated and understand the why behind this and what it does for their system.
So. I love it. I love all the education you're doing in the space because it is so important, and it's just a good reminder. We're still so early, right? Some people just they don't even know why they can get some at a dispensary and some at Total Wine. Right. So we have to continue to educate in our messaging. And I see that across even clients we're working with, right? Like it's constant. How do we educate them through campaigns, through automations, you know, and being really intentional about that because we are an evolving space. And, you know, even with consumption habits, we're going to chat a little bit about that. You know, consumption habits right now, sometimes people crack something, you know, oh, I'll get a Keith Cola for my special occasion. But really, we're trying to make this more mainstream to where it really can help. Like if you're sober curious and you know you are, or you just want a different type of beverage today, that it doesn't have to be a special occasion. It can be every day. And I think that comes with the education and making sure people know that it's not like that last edible experience you had where you sat in the corner and you freaked out like that's not the same. This is not going to be that experience for you. So I think it's really so important what you're doing and Canna Connect too. I mean, I can't wait to connect more with Canna Connect, and you all definitely connect with North Star Accelerator and other badasses up there in Minnesota. I'm really excited to see you all continue to evolve. And I want to throw you in a lightning round really quick before I let you go. And you've got 5 questions, 10 seconds to answer each one. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. What's your go-to karaoke song?
YMCA.
Yes. What's your favorite thing on your desk and why?
My favorite thing on my desk and why? Wow, I don't have a lot of stuff on my desk, but favorite thing on my desk is this $100 bill.
Oh, hell why? Yeah.
Because it's a reminder that this is just a piece of paper and money doesn't rule the world, even though a lot of people think it does.
Hey, I love that. What's the best business advice you've ever received?
Best business advice I've ever received?
Yep.
Don't take yourself too seriously.
Yes, I love that. If you could be a professional at any weird or unusual skill, what would it be?
Probably like a professional earthworm harvester.
Oh, I love that. I love the specifics. What's one bucket list item you want to fulfill this year?
This year, it's September 18th. There's so much I already fulfilled it, to be completely honest. I just launched an off-grid 20-acre Airbnb cabin in the middle of
the woods. Is that the Dark Star?
Yeah. Dark Star Cabins, yeah. I just launched my Airbnb travel accommodation business, and that was my bucket list. So it's check. It's live as of right now. It's already live.
Oh, hell yeah. So if anyone wants to get away and do an excursion, Dark Star Cabins in Minnesota?
In Minnesota, yep.
All right. Hell yeah. Well, thank you so much again. Really appreciate all the work, everything you're doing to just apply your knowledge and expertise in Minnesota and beyond. I'm so glad we're connected. And for our audience listening, if you need quick links, check out our Market Like a Badass show notes with links to social handles. But Spencer, in your own words, tell our audience where they can find you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I've already explained. Like, if you've listened to the whole podcast, you can only find me on LinkedIn.
Yeah,
like you're gonna find me on LinkedIn. I do have a website, but that's just like a portfolio page of brands I've worked on. But just look for me at Spencer Plussell on LinkedIn to find me and connect with me there. As well as yes, go to darkstarcabins.com and check out my new foray into property management and short-term rental vacation management. Obviously, follow me on Instagram there at darkstarcabins. Our first cabin we launched is Polaris. Our North Star, your shining light. Come and see the Milky Way. Come and see the Northern Lights if you've never seen them before. We're 3 hours north of Minneapolis along the banks of the North Shore of the Great Lake Superior.
I love it. That's one thing I love about cannabis and craft beer community is just the amazing people that you get to meet. And, you know, it feels like they have such unique backgrounds. Like you're an entrepreneur leading this other completely different and unique facet in life while also contributing here. And I just love that. I think that's what makes me most proud to work in these spaces is how brilliant the people are. So thank you so much for coming on. I'll drop this information in the show notes so our listeners can find you. Otherwise, follow us on Apple or Spotify or go to marketlikeabadass.media for the latest episodes of Market Like a Badass.